Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and today my very special guest is Brian Falchuk, and we're going to be talking about his book and program, Do a Day, How to Live a Better Life Every Day with, live a life, a better life every day. Brian has an amazing story. He went from being obese and depressed to running marathons. He's faced nearly losing his wife to illness, while their young son watched. He became vegan in just one day. He got his master's from a top school and rose to a senior executive position in a successful business. He's transformed his life and developed an approach to help others do the same that he teaches in his best-selling book, Do a Day, and is here to share that philosophy with you. I do have a direct link to Brian's website, the doadaybook.com, that is in the show page description, as well as a link to his Facebook page and his book, which is available at Amazon.com. So with that, I'd like to welcome Brian to the show. Good day, Brian.
Hey, Robert. Thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. I'm looking forward to learning how to live better and healthier. So
yeah, every day, right?
Every day. Let's start right now. We just really have to start with the story of that you were one time obese and now running marathons. And, you know, I mean, pun intended, that's a huge accomplishment. So can you share with the listeners exactly how you went about doing that?
Yeah, so there's no magic to it. There's no life hack. There's no shake for breakfast, shake for lunch, and a sensible dinner to this story. It's much deeper and much more about introspection and understanding myself. So I put on weight as a kid. My parents split up, and a lot of kids face that. And as a little kid, you have a lot of emotions that you don't understand and feelings that you're feeling and don't really get them. And so you turn to things. You either, you might act out, you might turn to food. And that's what I did. So, it was a bit of a class clown. So there was definitely the acting out piece, but I turned to food for comfort because it was always there. It always tasted good and it didn't judge me. And slowly but surely, sometimes not so slowly, but always surely, I definitely put on weight pretty rapidly. I was talking to someone earlier and I said, I think in third grade, I weighed more than my teachers, which, my son's in second grade. So, just a year beyond him. And, my teachers weren't big people, but they were considerably larger than a third grader would be from a, height and stature and all that. So yeah, I was big from a pretty early age and it just continued until in high school. I remember I hit 248 and that's the last time I weighed myself, but I did get bigger because, I needed to get bigger pants and they were always too tight. So I was definitely still growing. And it was through work with a guy who worked at my high school, ran the PE program, which I think is really a sort of a blow-off program at most schools. It's what you do to get out of sports. And that was certainly my intention, but that's not what he had in mind. He introduced me to introducing myself to wellness, if that makes any sense. This was before wellness and health were really a thing. He taught me to teach myself what I enjoy and how to make better choices for myself and to feel good about that and a bit of self-discovery. And that really fit what I needed at the time. And that's just through work with him over a couple of years, really, is how I lost the weight. Like most Americans, it came back. As I entered adulthood, I was a very different person from who I had been as a teenager. And, my issues in life were different. I was working. Just things were very different. My motivations were different. And so slowly but surely, and this time it was slow, I put much of the weight back on, not all of it. I got into the mid 220s, but I should be somewhere in the 170s. So I was still, you know, pretty significantly overweight from a health standpoint, but I didn't look like it. You know, the first time I looked obese, this time I just kind of looked like everyone. I just looked American, is how I put it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you mentioned it in the intro, it was this moment, June 30th, 2011. My wife has a chronic illness, and she was really in the throes of it. We thought she wasn't going to make it through the summer. Her doctor had sort of thrown up his hands and just given up on her, unable to stop this downward spiral that she was going through. And our young son, who was two at the time, was watching all this happen. And it just struck me so clearly of what my real reason for everything I should be doing and everything I want to be doing is. And I found it in him. And that's just such a much bigger motivation than what I had as a teenager, which was really about not looking like the fat kid, which is, you know, I felt that way every day. You know, adolescents, girls wouldn't give me the time of day, let alone go out on a date with me. You know, so it's just, it was a very like external perception kind of motivation, and finding motivation in my son and my relationship to him and the role model I can be for him and how I can inspire him. That's so much bigger and enduring. You know, he's not there. My role as his father is not going anywhere. So it really was a light switch moment. I woke up July 1st, 2011, and everything felt different. I mean, I felt it from the moment my eyes opened, and it hasn't changed since then. And I've tackled a whole lot, you know, all those things that you read off in the intro. Those are things I've done since then, the veganism, the marathon. I'm a C-level executive at a very successful insurance company, got my master's, like all of these things came from, I had my master's before he was born, that's not fair. Most of these things have come since I found that motivation, and I've directed it towards just doing better on a daily basis.
Yeah, now, when you talked about, you know, in the early years as a child, that you kind of turned to food for comfort, and then you had this coach kind of change your thinking. What was the comfort? What was the food replaced with as far as comfort?
Yeah, so the food was replaced with comfort in myself. And as hokey as that sounds, I felt so unsatisfied and unfulfilled with myself. And I wasn't getting what I needed from my family situation. I didn't feel safe. I didn't feel comforted. You know, my parents had their hands full. I'm one of four, you know, in the throes of a divorce and moving and all that. They had too much. And so I wasn't getting what I needed, and I couldn't provide that for myself, partially because I was too young and partially because I just wasn't, I wasn't in touch enough with myself. But look, I was like five when it all started to go down. So the reality is, you know, how many five-year-olds are going to satisfy themselves and their inner needs and all that. But as a teenager, I was more able to do that. I was very independent. You know, there are some good things that came from what my family went through in terms of my independence and self-reliance. It's extremely strong. So I didn't feel the need for someone else to satisfy me. I could take care of myself and be there for myself. I didn't feel very good about myself before working with this guy. And so that's really what changed, is I actually could just sort of understand how I felt about things and whether that was okay or not. And if it wasn't, how do I work through that? You know, I was just at a very different maturity in terms of myself. I just had more growing to go through, quite a bit more as I progressed through the years. And that's why, you know, the weight did remain an issue or became an issue again, but it was, you know, for a slightly different reason.
Yeah. So now when, like you say, most of us who work at losing weight, will succeed to a degree, and then every now and then will slip up and kind of, you know, go back. Whenever that happens, I mean, is there a trigger to be able to say, okay, this is what's happening now, let me get to the root of it?
Yeah, so I mean, this is one of the things I go into in the book, is this notion of do a day is about freeing yourselves from the judgment, the weight, the depression that comes from past missteps or mistakes or things you wish you hadn't done, or bad choices you made, or you wish you'd made differently. And it's also about not living in fear of all that's yet to come. So the it applies across the spectrum of things that we face in life. The weight example is a really good one, because it's pretty easy for people to associate with, because a lot of people struggle with it. And B, it's also an easy one to understand when you talk about the idea of having to lose. I had almost 100 pounds to lose. That's just so unbelievably daunting. Most people don't start, or if they do, they stop pretty quickly because they realize, I've been sweating my brains out at the gym every day, and I've just been living on carrots and celery, and the scales moved 1 pound. I got 99 to go. I can't keep this up, so they quit. The thing about losing weight is you don't have to lose 100 pounds today. All you have to do is make the right choices today and take some proactive actions that contribute to your achievement. And if you made a bad choice yesterday, you don't have to live in the shame and guilt of, everything's ruined. So I love this example, and I deal with it a lot with people I coach, where they've had a great run of things. They've been making really good progress on their wellness, and they maybe lost 15 or 20 pounds. And then it's, Jimmy from accounting is retiring, and everyone from the office goes out to the local bar and they celebrate. Now, I don't know if they're celebrating for Jimmy or because he's leaving, but either way, they go out and celebrate. And, you have – I don't work with a Jimmy in accounting. It's a completely made-up story. You have maybe a beer or two. You have some nachos or a wing or, whatever, like some buffalo wings, whatever it might be. And then you're like, oh, my God, what did I do? I've ruined everything. And you go home all depressed, and you call the pizza delivery place, and you buy a large pizza, and you eat the whole thing, and you drink a liter of Coke, and you have a cheesecake or whatever, because it's all ruined, right? You've thrown everything away. And it's that judgment, that over-judgment of that bad decision leads to a spiral effect. And so what I try to do is talk to people about, and you hadn't thrown, do the math on the calories, it's only about a 1% impact. And life is not as simple as calories in, calories out. But when you add in the pizza and the cheesecake and the Coke, and then the next day, if you continue to feel like you threw everything away, and so you just keep adding and adding, you don't work out, you keep the sort of depression and this vicious cycle of negativity going, that's when you've thrown everything away. So I try to help people see, and this is basically the point of the book, on the past side before we deal with the future, any one misstep is not enough to invalidate you or invalidate the progress you've made or can still make. So yes, you did make some choices you shouldn't have made, and you're aware of that. And it's okay to realize that wasn't right. So this isn't a way to just sort of get out of jail free. You should recognize, it wasn't the best, but I can still make better choices now. So when you get home, you didn't have to order pizza. You didn't have to drink all the soda and, any number of the bad choices that ensued. You could have stopped with that initial one. And I think being aware of that, letting the bad choice have its moment and recognize it, but then move on and don't hold that shame. Right. You're much more likely to get back on track.
Yeah, exactly. Now, a little while ago, you indicated that, when it came time to losing weight, that one might fear what is up and coming. What is there to fear? I mean, what would be some of the fears people might have?
Yeah, so the fears, it can be fears, or it can be anxiety, or just sort of this feeling of things being too much to handle. So, the weight one is a good example, because it's, there's 100 pounds and I'll never get there. And you start having this very negative internal dialogue with yourself that leads you to quit. I share an example in the book. Each chapter is a different context, a different situation that I've applied the philosophy in. So I have one on tough times at work. I made a pretty serious mistake, and it was pretty pretty public. I was a management consultant, and I screwed up pretty badly on a model that I had built for our client. The impact was in the millions of dollars. Now, luckily, they hadn't actually implemented it yet. I caught it before that happened, but I had quite a bit of egg on my face, to say the least, and I didn't make my firm look very good. So I was pretty upset with that. There was a lot for me to go through to deal with that. But the whole thing, other than me was done in about a week. Everyone got over it and moved on. I continued with this negativity of, you know, I was about to get promoted. Well, obviously that's gone. And forget about promotion. I might even get fired over this, and I'm certainly not going to get a bonus or a good bonus or a raise. Or, you know, I just started with this chain of all of these things that are yet to hit me because of a mistake I made. And what's really funny is that about a, it's not funny, but I can say that now. It was pretty upsetting at the time. About a month after this mistake, I had my annual review, and the funny part is the only thing that came up negatively wasn't the mistake. It was my attitude over the past month. So it wasn't the actual thing that I did wrong. People got past that, and I recovered. I look back on it, and actually the way I handled it I thought was pretty good. I didn't think that at the time, but now that I know better, I was like, actually, you know what? I cleaned that up really well. I was honest about it. The client appreciated it. I still have a good relationship with them. The firm still had work with it. Like, nothing fell apart, but I became really difficult to work with. I constantly felt like I was being attacked or singled out. So I had created the problem because of all these fears that I was allowing to seep in about things that hadn't yet happened and may never happen, except that I actually made them possible through the way I was looking at them. So it's an interesting story, I think, you know, around how we can actually, we can bring these negative outcomes to fruition ourselves just through our fear of them and how that impacts our feelings and our interactions.
Yeah, that, you know, that focus on the negative, you know, just what we focus on, we realize, you know, and, you know, that is a perfect case for that. So now, how does do a day differ from the idea of one day at a time? You know, a lot of times you say, do one day at a time.
right. So one day at a time, I think, is more passive. It's about things happening to you, and you just sort of have to, you know, grit your teeth and get through it. Just sort of bear down and get through this day, and then everything will be fine. So that's a different approach. For me, do a day is more proactive, and it's about, you know, you wake up, you have intention and focus, and you make a series of choices, not let things happen to you, but actually do things to move the needle, to move you along that path towards success. And there will be ups, and there will also be downs. And there may be moments where you do have to, you know, just grit your teeth and get through it. But on the whole, you're moving yourself forward rather than letting things happen to you. And that's the real difference to me, is this is about proactivity. This is about taking ownership, control of your life, and ensuring that you actually get this pattern of successes building on each other rather than just sort of dealing with the storm that you have to keep weathering.
Yeah. Excuse me. We have one of our favorite listeners in the chat room, Corrine, who had a question, and you know, you might be unique in being able to answer it. And she says, I have a very ill friend that is 700 pounds, and she is in the hospital now. I don't want to maybe offend her by offering her a book to help, but I'm not sure what to do for her.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Corrine, for the question and for caring that much. And I think that, well, I'm glad to hear that she's in the hospital, because obviously that is an extreme situation, and hopefully that means she's getting help. You know, one of the things that I have found is you can imagine a lot of people that I coach come to me over how they're feeling about their bodies and their, you know, being overweight or not fit enough or what have you. And their expectation is, you know, we're going to work on an exercise plan and a food plan, and then they'll just have those two things and they can continue on their life as is, but they'll work out a little bit more and they'll eat a little bit better. That's fine, but that's not actually going to solve anything. So I will do those things, and I will talk about how to make activity more part of their life and how to make better food choices and try to educate them on that spectrum of better choices versus where it's not black and white. It's not, you know, you either do this or you do nothing. There's a spectrum, and you can always make better choices. But where I really focus is on helping them see themselves and understand what's driving them to need to lose weight in the first place. So I guarantee you, that for Corrine, am I saying that right?
That's correct.
So it's not that her friend just happens to be fat. There are reasons why she has gained that much weight. You know, there's a whole life picture to it. The creator of The Biggest Loser was interviewed on a podcast recently, and he was saying, you know, when he would go into, you know, seriously overweight people's homes, the story was very similar. There's a lot of clutter. There's, you know, their car would have, like, the door handle would be broken. There's all these similar sort of signs of being overwhelmed and signs of depression,
right,
and being a tough space to live in, that, you know, he almost saw a correlation between the amount of clutter and every 50 pounds that they would be overweight. And you don't have clutter and you know, the sort of tough living conditions just because there's reasons for it, and they start to flow into each other. So we need to get to the root cause. So I hope that your friend is getting more than just, you know, dietary help or bariatric surgery or whatever it might be, that they're getting the emotional support, because that's actually where the weight loss will come from. That's where the feeling of self-worth will come from. That's ultimately, I find, why people tend to be overweight, is that self-worth is missing. And it's really hard to feel that way about yourself when you look that way and feel that way about how you look. I know firsthand. So when you talk about a book, I think a book is a great thing to give. Give it from a place of compassion and caring and inspiration, and you think that they would take inspiration too, and you're so proud of them for getting help. You know, take it from that point of positivity, caring, and inspiration, and let that positivity wear off on them, because it is contagious.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that you brought up is that it's, you know, people with excessive weight issues, you know, really, or, you know, that there's that self-image, you know, I don't like how I look, you know, people always looking down at me, those kinds of things. Would it, it seems to me that it might be beneficial when visiting in the hospital to, like, hold hands, to have a physical touch with her friend, maybe even massage the hands or something like that to allow the friend to feel that she's approachable. But does that make sense?
It does. I mean, you know, that's a very individual kind of decision, and you need to know your relationship with them and what kind, you know, and all those kinds of questions. But assuming that they would be okay with that, it is really disarming and connecting to literally physically connect with someone. So a hug, a handhold, any of those things actually means a lot. And please look them in the eyes. You know, they're a person. It's a sign of respect and connection, and it goes a long way, especially if they see your caring in your eyes. That's a great point.
Great. So now, how did you come up with the idea for Do a Day?
Yeah, so the philosophy itself I had been living for several years. I didn't have a name for it until the veganism started. So I was reading a book by this vegan ultra athlete that my wife had gotten me for the holidays. And he's not pushing it in your face to go vegan, but he's at least raising the issue of, you know, have you thought about it? Why don't you do it? And it was like 8 at night or something like that. I was going to work the next day, and I just said, yeah, you know what? I'll do it tomorrow. And that wasn't me putting it off. That was me saying, I will actually do this tomorrow. Cause I'd thought about it before. I've read some other books by other vegans, and I was like, yeah, you know, but what about this? What about that? I don't want to be the weird guy at the birthday party who won't eat cake. And I don't want to, you know, not go for ice cream with my son, or, you know, all of these things that I told myself that I could never not do that again. And I just decided, you know what, tomorrow I'm just going to work. I get a salad at lunch anyway. I can make this work. Let me just try it tomorrow. And I woke, you know, I had no time to plan. I couldn't go to the supermarket or anything because I got to get to bed. I wake up early, so I go to bed early. And I did it. And it was actually really, really simple because I realized I wasn't going to a birthday party. So the story I'm telling myself about, oh, you'll never eat cake again or whatever, none of that happened. I was just, you know, just one day, and it was so easy. I said, yeah, I can do tomorrow. So I did another day, and that, you know, it's day two, and here I am 2.5 years later. And it really is just a series of every day I wake up and I decide to do it again. And now it's, you know, it's second nature for me. I don't really think about it. So I'm not proactively choosing to do this. This is just how I am. But what struck me that first day was you can do anything for a day. You know, no matter what, like anyone can do anything for a day. And obviously I'm exaggerating,
yeah.
But pretty much anyone can do anything
yeah.
for a day.
Yeah, I've got pretty good day-long stamina. I mean, day-long commitment.
Yeah. You know, if you don't like eating this vegetable or that, like, yeah, you can eat it tomorrow. You can have it with dinner. Like, you can do anything. You can not, if you're a big soda drinker, that's an easy thing that I work on with people is cutting soda out for a variety of reasons. Like, yeah, you can do it tomorrow. We don't have to talk about whether you're ever going to have it ever again for the rest of your life because you're not having it. Or not having it for the rest of your life right now. You know, again, it's that whole the fear of the future thing. You just don't eat it tomorrow. Don't drink it tomorrow. Go to the gym tomorrow. We don't have to worry about whether you're ever going to go again for the rest of eternity. Just once, just tomorrow. So we wake up, we do a day, and at the end of the day, we reflect on were we successful or not, and then we move on to the next day. And we make another series of good choices.
Okay, excuse me. We're going to take just a quick break, Brian, and I do want to invite listeners that if you would like to call in and ask Brian any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And if you are in a chat room like Corrine and would like to add any questions, feel free to type them in, and we'll get to them right after the break. And so when we come back from the break, Brian, I want to have you talk about whether a do a day is a, quote, life hack. Okay? So we'll talk about what that
sure.
is and what the do a day, how to do a day fits into that. So everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there. Or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc. And we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide. Books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Brian Falchuk, and we're talking about his book and program, Do a Day, How to Live a Better Life Every Day. Again, you can find out more by visiting his website, which is doadaybook.com. I have a link to that one, as well as a link to his book at Amazon, and a link to his Facebook account as well in the show page description. But if you go to his primary website, doadaybook.com, you'll see all of the different social media platforms that Brian is on, so you can be able to follow him in so many different ways. So with that, we're back, Brian.
Hey.
Hey. Okay, so life hack. What's a life hack? Is do a day one?
Do a day is not a life hack. So life hacks are, it's a very trendy, popular thing right now, the past few years. It's essentially a way to shortcut the outcome. So it's tricks of the trade or tricks to get a better outcome in life. And you see a lot of it around weight loss or success in business. There's tons of books out there. There's websites that are all focused on life hacks. There's one called lifehacker.com. I mean, it's a big thing, but it's all it sort of feeds into what I think is sort of the antithesis of what the book is about. So it's about the quick fix and the short attention span that our society really fuels now. And for me, that's fine, but quick fixes tend to be quick both in how you arrive at them and how long they last. So, you know, we've already talked about how, you know, if you don't do the self-work, if you don't get under the surface of why you put on weight, you will probably put the weight back on. It's not about exercise and eating. I mean, those are the ways that you may deliver it, but it's about what got you there in the first place. And that's typically about some form of depression or issues with your self-worth and your sense of self. So do a day is not a life hack. It's a much more introspective and enduring approach where you really do need to discover yourself. You need to figure out what truly makes you tick. You know, I mean, my double weight loss story, if you want to call it that, you know, the first time around and then having to do it again, that's because I hadn't fully gotten to the root of who I was. And to be fair, I wasn't fully developed as a person either. You know, I was still a kid the first time around. So I had a lot of maturing and growing and experiencing to do. The same is true for anyone, whether it's about weight gain or anything else, is we do need to spend the time to really get to know ourselves and find out what really makes us tick. So I spend time in the book posing a whole number of questions to help people figure out what their real motivation is. And it's not something, you know, this isn't a workbook where you fill out the answers to a bunch of questions and you just get your motivation spat out at the end of the equation. It's something that I can ask you questions, but I'm going to teach you to fish. You have to go catch the fish yourself. And that's actually much more likely to succeed, and you'll own it more because you're the one who found it and had that, you know, that epiphany, that moment where it all became clear, just as I did.
Yeah. You know, we've been talking a lot about weight loss. So what other situations or life circumstances will the do a day program work well in helping?
Yeah, so I have yet to find a situation where it can't be applied. And that sounds like a cop-out answer, but that's genuinely true. And I've done it in a number of areas myself, but I've also coached other people, or people since I've put the book out, people have been reaching out to me almost every day. Every day I get at least one note from someone who has used the book or it's resonated with what they've done to overcome things or how they're going to go about overcoming something. So I share the first part of the book is sort of a case method approach where each chapter, and I call them days, right, to fit with the title. So you do a day by reading one chapter at a time. Each day in the first section is a different situation in life. And I talk to you about what I've gone through in that space and how I've used the approach to get through. So I've mentioned, you know, we talked about weight loss. I mentioned that chapter that's on problems at work. I have a chapter on parenting. I talk about when I ran a marathon, and I have yet to run another one, but I'm very careful to call that my first marathon because I just submitted my registration for my second. So I do plan on running more of them, but so far I've done one. You know, that's a great way to apply the philosophy because it really is one step at a time. My training plan had over 725 miles in it, and I don't care how ultra marathon running you may be, that's more than anyone would ever sign up for. And the thing is, you don't just go run 725 miles. It's a few miles every day. Right. So that's, you know, I thought that's another really good application of it. But, you know, I've worked with people who, you know, they've had the health and the fitness kind of stuff, people who face chronic illness. And my wife, as I mentioned, she faces chronic illness. But then also I work with someone who lost his wife to cancer in their 30s. You know, this wasn't people in their 70s and 80s where it's still extremely sad, but, you know, they're at a different point in their life where this is a reality. Right. Young folks where you don't plan your life that way. And there's quite a bit of inspiration in his story and how he's gotten through and the support networks he's a part of that he's now giving back to. You wouldn't know that he's been through what he's been through if he didn't tell you, because he's such an inspiring, positive, achieving person. it's pretty amazing. So when I say, you know, I really haven't seen an area where it doesn't apply, I genuinely mean that. I've seen pretty wide variety of situations now. It's just up to you to allow it to apply and to go after that success.
Well, it seems that, you know, it is a process that can be applied in many ways. So once you work it well, then when the next situation arises where you can apply it, then I would think that, you know, it becomes easier to be able to kind of step right in and make it work again.
Yeah, it's really about living a life of inspiration. So once you get that inspiration and you see that success, one thing I like to say to my clients is success begets success. So you just you keep stacking one win on top of the other, and it doesn't mean there aren't tough days, and it doesn't mean that everything's a win. But when you generally feel like you're going after it, you're getting what you want, you're achieving what you're trying to achieve, you're overcoming what stands in your way, setbacks don't matter as much because you now have this idea of yourself as an achiever rather than someone who struggles. And when you change the way you frame yourself, you know, it's just like I said about, you know, what was I getting for myself that I didn't need to get from food anymore? I saw myself differently. I consider myself an athlete, which is not something I would ever think that I would say. You know, I'm a marathoner. Again, not something I ever thought I would say. And I see myself that way. When you frame yourself differently, you find inspiration in yourself. And that is the most powerful thing you can live with on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So now, can you give me some examples or an example or two where, you know, someone has implemented Do A Day? Maybe, you know, kind of like in very different types of situations.
Yeah, so I'll give you a big one and a little one. So, and that just goes to show, you know, there's some really varied levels of stuff that we all face. So there's and it really does apply across the board. So a friend of mine has had this landscaping project that he and his partner wanted to do for years, and it was to move a wall from one part of their property to another. It's this huge wall, a lot of stones, and they didn't want to hire anyone for it. So this project sat there for years undone. Because it was always just, it's going to be, you know, months of moving these rocks or days or whatever it's going to be, and it's going to be miserable. And all they did was tell themselves how it was too much and it was going to be so terrible. And literally years went by that the wall stood where it was, to the point that they actually wanted to sell the property but didn't feel like they could until they moved the wall, but they still didn't move it. So they were super motivated but still wouldn't do it. So he read the book, and lo and behold, each rock was a day for them. They didn't move one rock a day, but they looked at them as individual days, and they talked about it this way. And they moved the wall over the course of about a day and a half. So it was nowhere near as bad as they thought it would be. They were really happy with how it turned out. And now the wall is moved because they framed the question differently. And instead of looking at the entirety of a wall, they just focused on one rock at a time. And they were able to move it. So that's a nice, simple, but realistic and applicable story that we all face.
Right.
This isn't just about, you know, transforming your life. You can apply it at a much simpler level. The other is someone who had come to me for weight loss help and fitness help. And it's someone who'd been, you know, fairly recent college grad, about a year out, was living at home again, was in a job that she really didn't like, didn't really have direction. She sort of knew what she wanted to do, but just was kind of blasé and just kind of fumbling through things and not sure how to get to where she wanted to be. But that's not why she was talking to me. She was talking to me because she was unhappy with the weight that she had put on since college and wanted to do something about that and didn't really know how. And there was a lot of temptation. You know, there were always cookies at work, and, you know, she was just sort of unhappy with her situation. And it's hard to get yourself going if you're generally unhappy. And so, you know, we talked about what kinds of, she didn't like going to the gym. She didn't like being on the cardio machines and all that.
Right.
So we talked a lot about what she does like, instead of just saying, you know, the gym equals standing on a treadmill or a Stairmaster or whatever, and doing something you hate for a half an hour. Cause guess what? That's not going to be sustainable. So we redefined what going to the gym, or I didn't call it going to the gym, we just talked about as fitness, what that can mean. And we did that by talking about what she actually enjoys. So I found out she loves riding a bike and she likes doing light weightlifting, but she just doesn't like the cardio equipment. So we figured out how can she ride to and from work, and how do we design a weightlifting regime for her that would fit her interests and her desires and keep her interested, and how do we keep spicing it up so it doesn't get boring. Now, what we really talked about was the living at home, the job situation. How is she going to get herself to the career path that she wants to be on? And funny enough, that bike riding actually was a big piece of it, because she dreaded going to work so much and was so mentally exhausted, not because it was hard, but because emotionally it was taking so much out of her at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So she just had nothing left in her to make smart choices. But the bike ride in gave her this energy to start her day, and the bike ride home allowed her to decompress. And so it got her out of that funk with her job, so that actually there started to be this chain reaction where she started to take some more positive steps. So she ended up enrolling in a master's program. She's now, this is 6 years later, she's now on her second job since that one. She looks amazing. You know, she lost a bunch of weight while we were working together, but she's not only kept it off, she's much more toned now. And she has this incredible smile that she really didn't have. She smiled for pictures before. Now she's just smiling and someone happens to be taking a picture. You know, she's actually genuinely happy. She lives in a great area. She, you know, her parents are, there's nothing wrong with her parents. It's not like she couldn't stand living with them, but she wanted to start her adult life and she wasn't doing that. And she has absolutely created that. And she's just told me she's now coaching people. So that for me is just such a great validation that not only has she transformed her life, she's found the inspiration to share it, which is great.
Yeah, that's a really good story. And especially, you know, redefining the program to meet what it is that you'd like, you know, I mean, because that's really half the battle is if it's something that you like, then, hey, I'm going to go and do, if I like riding a bike, I mean, I like walking a lot, you know, a little nature walk every morning. Yeah. You know, that's my little thing. I do it, you know, 3 miles a day. You know, not a whole lot, but it gets my day started, you know.
No, that's so great.
Yeah.
3 miles more than not doing it.
It is. It is, yeah. And I happen to be in a gated neighborhood, and I run into literally dozens of people by the time I'm done. And they all, even though I don't know them, I'm in South Carolina, they hey, hey. So by the time I'm done, I will have said hi and smiled and good morning at least, you know, a dozen times. And so I end up smiling before I even start my day, which is a, you know, it's a great way to do
that. There's a huge amount of research on the benefit of those social interactions. So that is no small thing. So you're absolutely starting your day perfectly. Good for you.
Yeah. Yep. Now, first of all, you know, this idea of the do-a-day, you know, it sounds simple. I mean, you know, in some ways, you know, but it is, you know, very, you have to be reflective. When someone is in a situation of extreme stress, sometimes it's really hard to pull out of that. So how would do a day work with someone who is in that kind of situation?
Yeah, so it is tough. It's not impossible, but it's tough. And I absolutely recognize that it gets easier with practice. Part of it is because as you get better, then the stress has less of an impact on you. And the other part is you're just more skilled at tuning in to how to control that stress reaction. But it really does boil down to that upfront honesty with yourself and your situation. I don't recommend that people just say, you know, stop feeling this way and sort of try to shame themselves out of it. Recognize what's going on and allow it, because your feelings are valid. And whether they're rational or not to other people, they're rational to you. They're rational to you in the moment. And you don't choose that upfront reaction. You actually can over time with training, but you're at a reactive state. So allow for that and feel validated, because one of the worst things you can do is be invalidated in how you're feeling. So just recognizing upfront and being okay with that, that's step one. But the next is to then look at it and say, okay, am I helping myself right now? It doesn't matter whether, you know, you've been wronged by someone or something like that. You're not, it's not having an impact on them at the moment. If you're mad at someone, they're, they're not feeling any of those things right now. They're feeling other things. So you're just hurting yourself. So let's then focus on, okay, I've had my feeling. I'm not okay with this. This is really scaring me, or, you know, it doesn't feel good, or it's upsetting me. That's valid. Now, what's going to actually help me? How can I be additive and successful for me? And that then, you know, think through what are the options there. And if you've done the work and you understand your motivation, that's the time when you tap into it. So for me, in those tough moments, I try to go back to, you know, why am I doing any of this in the first place? It's about being there for my son, being an inspiration for him, being a good role model for him, all of those things relating to my role as his father and all that that means for the rest of his life based on my actions. So when you're in that tough of a place, having your true motivation at hand is really powerful, because it should be big enough to help break that cycle. But it is important to give it its moment and don't try to shut it down and invalidate it, because, again, your feelings are valid. They came from somewhere. Let's try to understand that and then move towards the better choices that help you along the path instead of just adding to this tough spot you're in.
Yeah, okay. Now, what is it that you want to before we do that, what are some tips that you can give the listeners? We got quite a few people in the chat room. Give the listeners to start to put this approach into effect.
Yeah, so there's a basic question that I've got a number of questions in the motivation chapter in the book, but there's one question. People are like, what's the one thing I should, you know, what's the one question? There's one basic question that I would ask anyone to start with. And that's really simple. What will you always care about no matter what? So very simple question, will take a lot of time to really answer, but starting to understand that will start you on your path to getting at what your motivation is. I gave that question to someone last week, was speaking at a conference, and I threw that question out, and they messaged me the next day and said, you know, it's so fantastic. That's such a great question. I didn't sleep at all last night for thinking through the whole thing. I was like, you know, I'm so glad to hear it resonated. I'm so sorry for the impact it had on your sleep. But that's, that's to me where you would start with it. I have a simple free exercise that I put out on my website to help people with understanding these things and to think about their goals. And, you know, there's a lot more to it, but I'm trying to give some first steps for people who want to get started. But if you go to doadaybook.com/the exercise, all one word, so doadaybook.com/the exercise, it's really simple. I think it's two pages, you know, one page double-sided. Just some questions to help you on your journey to start to think about those things. And if it's interesting and intrigues you and starts you down that path, then you're going to want more. And there's more out there. And, you know, there's more in my book. There's more on the internet. There's lots of stuff out there. But at least getting that start in your journey to really understand yourself and what makes you tick, that's how you get started with all this.
Yeah, very much. So now, what is your hope about getting this message out there? What do you want to achieve by getting the do-a-day out there?
Yeah. So someone said, so are you going to retire and quit your job from all this? that's great. I'd love to do that. But realistically, I did not write this book for money. I didn't do it for any of that. I did it because I love helping people in my coaching work and the mentoring work that I do. And no matter how many hours a day I devote to that, I will never get to help as many people as I'd like to change their lives. So that's when I realized, you know, the book is how I'm going to do that. So, you know, for everyone who's bought the book, those are people I'm not coaching. You know, yes, there are people who I'm coaching or have coached that have read the book, but the vast majority of people who have picked up the book are people I wouldn't have gotten a chance to help otherwise. That's why I wrote this, is to try to impact as many lives as possible. That's why I do these podcast interviews I'm doing, or the radio shows and speaking engagements and whatnot. So it's, for me, this is really just about, look, I've created something for myself that I've seen work directly and for others. And I think it's real, and I think it resonates, and I think it's really powerful. And the benefit for all of us is huge. I would be doing myself and you know, everything that I'm devoted to, a disservice if I didn't try to get that out there. That's why I'm doing all this. And it seems to be resonating, yeah. Which is, you know, I couldn't ask for more.
Yeah, that is good. You know, that's the one thing as authors, you really hope that your message is received and people actually improve their life or have a better experience because of something that you wrote.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So one final question. What is next for Brian? What's up and coming?
So I'm really just working as much as I can to get the message about the book out there, and that's been going really well. So I've had a lot of opportunities to do different interviews and engagements, and I'm going to just continue that path. I do talk about what's next for me in the book as my sort of like what's my dream next step. I don't want to give that away. But I do, you know, I do continue to want to achieve things just because I've done some really big things in my life. There's still so much more out there. And I do find that the more I do, the more I want to do because I'm proving things to myself and I've redefined who I am in my own eyes, which is really what, you know, I like, that's just worth so much. So I take great pride in myself without being egotistical or anything. It's just really nice to feel good about yourself. And that's not something I had growing up. Yeah. And I don't think, I think too many of us don't get to feel that. So that's what's next for me, to continue to feel really good about myself through what I achieve.
Okay. Well, you know, and that is, you know, right now there are so many, you know, with childhood obesity, it's just really an important message, you know, and we really need the kids today to start getting a better self-image feeling better about themselves and stop comparing themselves to, you know, all of the latest social media, you know, kinds of, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, well, Brian, I really want to thank you for your time. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks for having me.
This has really been great. It's my pleasure. And now I believe I'm following you on most of those social media platforms, but if I haven't yet, I will by the end of the day. So I'm really looking forward to following your journey. So again, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Robert.
It's my pleasure. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Brian Falchuk. We've been talking about his book and program, Do a Day, How to Live a Better Life Every Day. Again, you can find out more by visiting the website, doadaybook.com. There's a link to that website in the show page description, as well as a link to his book at amazon.com, and also a link to his Facebook page. And again, like I mentioned earlier, if you go to the doadaybook.com, up in the upper right-hand corner are all of the various social media platforms. You can go ahead and follow Brian and keep in touch with his journey and get some more of those tips. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.